People are critical to organisations. They're more important than the product a firm sells or the services it provides. That's why, for 20 years now, we've been hearing about the war for talent. It's why again and again on Best Practice we talk about culture and communication. So what happens when you bring the wrong person in? How much does that affect a workplace? Actually, how often does that happen? The recruitment agency Robert Half got the research done on this, and Andrew Morris from Robert Half joins me now. Welcome to Best Practice.
Thanks, Richard.
Let's talk about this research. How often did you find that people are making the wrong decision, making wrong hiring decisions?
Well, there were three key points that came out of the research. The first was mismatch of skills, and that was 46% of the people that we actually interviewed. Candidates being underqualified, 42% there. And then candidates telling a few mistruths on their resume, and that was 33%. So three interesting key points.
Mistruths, that's I would probably say lies, if that
was
me. Yeah,
I think that's fair to say that they've lied on their resume and that they've said that they've done things that they haven't actually done.
All right. So that's, I suppose, the big ways in which this can go wrong. How often in your research did people say, actually, yeah, we definitely got at least one decision wrong?
Well, 99% say they have actually made a bad hiring decision.
That's nearly everybody.
It is. It's incredible. And I think a lot of these issues occur just because people try and rush a process. So someone resigns, the stress is there, people have to hire a person quickly because they've got lots of work on, and then they say, hey, let's just get this done. And because they rush into it, they just tend to make bad decisions like we all do in life.
I'll come back to that. How quickly is it apparent that they've made bad hiring decisions?
Well, I think what tends to happen, if they've got a bad process, sometimes they've got a bad induction process. So if that is the case, they tend to not see a bad hire for quite some time. If they've got a really good induction process where they test people technically, because the technical element really is your first 3 months, and then the cultural element is over the next 3 months. So you're making a wise decision about that investment in a new person over the first 6 months. So if you don't technically look at someone, they could be making mistakes and you're not realizing until it's a little bit too late, and then it causes lots of frustration.
Actually, that's the first time I've understood why the probationary period, which often exists, is 6 months, because it takes 3 months to get around the technical aspects, 3 months to get the culture in your head.
Absolutely, Richard. It's a little bit like dating. When you first date someone in the first 3 months, I call it the honeymoon period, where nothing can go wrong. And then after that, you tend to see people's bad habits, communication issues, conflict issues, and how do they navigate through those in order to be really successful members of the team.
So what did you find, or what did the research tell you about the impact of, because you call these guys dud hires, don't you?
Well, they're hires. I wouldn't call them dud. I think that's probably a little bit too harsh, but everyone makes mistakes. I think the impact is a lot of stress on the team. So there's financial problems in regards to, there was an interview process, so you've invested in time, and there's an opportunity cost where someone in the organisation could have been simply just doing something different, and then you're training a person that may not have worked out. So the costs involved can really blow out really quickly.
So I'm thinking there's increased workload on colleagues, there's increased stress on colleagues, there's lost productivity. Is there a dollar figure? Because I'm thinking that for a lot of positions that you would be helping fill, we're talking about senior people. This could run into, if you did the maths on it, six figures.
Absolutely. So when someone resigns, they say it costs the employer three times their salary if they've lost an athlete and a really good performer out of their business. So if you replace it with a not so good person and then they don't work out, well, that's going to multiply very, very quickly and cost the company hundreds of thousands of dollars through lost productivity and for that person never getting up to speed. And you know, the biggest thing that I see is that if you make a bad hire, the stress that it causes, not only does that person leave the company, but then others will follow.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking, I don't want to be part of this team. I'm stressed out. I'm getting a job somewhere else. There's so many opportunities out in the marketplace right now.
Right. So you've gone to, I suppose, one response to the bad hire, that you actually get rid of that person before the probationary period is up. What about, are people also like trying to make the best of things? Is there another approach to getting rid of someone?
Look, I think, as I've been told in life, the worst decision you can make is not making a decision at all. So you've got to make some decision about what you do with this individual. So it could be, let's train them, let's educate them, we've invested in this person, let's give them a chance. But make things time-bound, specific, and measurable about what they need to do in order to pass probation. You can't hope, though. Some people will just sit and hope that the problem becomes better.
And it actually goes to the psychological problem going on here in a way. You've made a decision about someone, you've brought them in, you've stuffed up. So the first thing you've got to get over is the fact that you've made a mistake, and that can be quite confronting for people who don't really think that they make many mistakes.
Absolutely. The person that generally gets in the road is yourself, because you're thinking, wow, my boss is not going to be impressed with me. I've hired this person. I may have paid a fee. I may have invested a lot of people's time, and I'm going to have to say to my boss, I've made a bad decision. But again, if you admit that, and then some good comes out of it in regards to putting a process in place that works moving forward, that's going to help you and the whole organisation. So you look at the positive versus looking at the negative.
I want to ask about process in a minute, but I'm wondering if some of this is just flaws in human nature. I mean, we know that the interview is often not a good indicator of, say, cultural fit, for example.
Absolutely. That's why you need to have multiple people meet a person. You need to have them have behavioural questions as well as technical questions. And I think the other big part that people don't do well enough are reference checks. So we talk about lying earlier. There's lots of people who will put mobile telephone numbers on their reference checks.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure the reference is the reference. So we rely sometimes on emailing references, and references are fantastic about getting real understanding of how people behave. And they're underestimated in the whole process, as far as I can see.
So will most people, if they're on a reference, if they're listed as a referee, are they mostly prepared to come back and give you what you want?
If they've been advised by the person who's given the reference in the first place, absolutely. And the other part is making sure that the employee tells the reference that, hey, I've given your name out. A lot of times people forget to even tell the referee that they've actually put their name down. So there needs to be, I suppose, culpability both on the candidate side and the employer side, but make sure you do it over the phone. Make sure the person works at the company. Call through switchboard. Make sure the person is who they say they are. You can do your own background checks by, you know, LinkedIn and verifying these things to make sure you are getting who you're getting.
Andrew, you're saying we've got our flaws in human nature, but if you put enough process around this, take it seriously and set out clear steps, it ought to be possible to make good hires most of the time.
Absolutely. If you're seeing a high turnover in the first 6 months, that's not the candidate's fault. That's your fault for having a poor process. So if you're seeing that in your organisation, get together with key leadership, work out what process are we going to put in order so we hire the best people, we get the best talent, and we minimise our mistakes. You're never going to stop mistakes, but you're just trying to minimise someone coming in and then impacting that company really poorly.
All right, Andrew, that is where we'll leave it. Thank you very much for joining me on Best Practice today.
Pleasure.
Andrew Morris is with the recruitment specialists, Robert Half.